Will the Oilers win the lot? And if they don't, should they have brought in Steve Tambellini strictly for the lottery? Brian Sotheby, a former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, joins us now. What do you think?
Yeah, why not bring him in?
If they lose this year, clearly they should have brought in Tambellini.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Whatever. I don't know if he has a lucky tie. He's got some lucky gaunch. Whatever he's got should have been it.
That's something, right?
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. 14.2% chance of them winning the lottery. So not great, but not. There's only two teams with a better chance. So we'll see what happens. Want to make any bold predictions on who wins the lottery tonight? If you're looking into your crystal ball of lottery teams?
Not really. I think I heard you yesterday or somebody. The majority of them retained, do they not?
Well, for a lot of times it was because, the one year, if eight won it in the past, yeah, then one would still retain it. Eight would move up to four.
Right,
but now they can. Like, L.A. won it originally out of the seven hole, but they only moved up to number three back in 1995.
Yeah.
Right? Chicago's won it out of the eight hole. Now, though, and so it has happened before that teams in the last 20 years have won it outside of the top five.
Yeah.
It's rare, of course. So you would think, but you look at it, and I know the odds are still the odds. They don't change every year. But if you look at it and say, well, geez, nobody out of the number, Washington did won it once out of the number three hole.
Ovechkin.
Right? Ovechkin, yeah. That one hurt them. Could you imagine if, actually, the team that got hurt the most on that was Chicago because they went down to number three. They were at number two.
Who went two? Malkin?
Malkin.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have been bad for them.
Oh.
Because you have Malkin and then they got Taves fierce later.
Oof. Yeah.
Yowza. Wouldn't have been bad at all.
No kidding.
They likely wouldn't have got Patrick Kane then.
So, yeah, true.
So there you go. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Buffalo wins. I think number one wins it this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the last 2 years, it's been the number two hole that's won.
I've never watched it before. I will watch it this year.
Yes.
Do they show you like the ping pong?
No,
ball?
And
it just comes out
I
of the envelope,
I don't understand
right?
that exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, this would be way better if you actually showed the draft the way it has as you pull the name out. Now, the reason they won't do it this year is because New Jersey potentially in their idiot decision to allow New Jersey to still have a first round pick.
Yeah.
Some reason, I guess 4 years later, they felt bad. They're like, hey, Lou, don't worry. We'll give you a first rounder. You just have to keep it. You can't trade it. It's number 30. But by the way, if you win the lottery, we'll redo it again. What a waste of time. But I think that to me would be much more riveting than just having guys sit there and here's the envelopes.
Yeah.
Number 10.
Absolutely.
Number 9. Be way better.
Yeah.
That to me would be great live TV. And you would see it unfold. They pull the name out. Okay, here we go. And I understand it's a code and it's the combination, but they know who it is.
Yeah.
It's not, obviously they know who it is. So figure it out. Put the little logo on there. I don't care.
Yeah.
But
way
better. They don't do that.
That's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
I'll still be watching, though.
Yeah, I won't be watching. I'll be listening right here to you because I'm driving to the Minerva Foundation, the annual draft tonight.
I guess I won't be watching either.
Yes.
Because I'll be there.
You're coming tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, this is your first one?
Yeah.
Wow, I remember when Strudge showed up for his first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should ask him about that. Man. I think half of his hair fell out later that night. That was the beginning of the
That's
end.
That's where it went.
Yeah. It was the beginning of the end. He was rubbing up against Tom Gilbert's head all night trying to transplant some hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't work. It did not work at all. We got lots of texts coming in on Craig McTavish and a few other things. So we'll get to those. We'll get your thoughts on it. So I'd say, guys, Craig said the pro scouting department is not a problem despite evidence. Craig said the team played a lot better in the last 30 games despite evidence. What's he watching? Fair point. The pro scouting staff, you can look at it in recent history, and I think it's safe to say that they have not unearthed any deals where the Edmonton Oilers are trading a fifth-round pick to get Ben Lovejoy, for instance.
Right.
Right, they're not going out and signing a guy. Now, boy, I look at this season, I will say Boyd Gordon, Matt Hendrick, I don't mind those signings at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they were exactly what you expected them to be. Boyd Gordon was solid in the faceoff circle, doesn't provide a lot of offense, good defensively, good penalty killer. That was not a surprise. So So that was the one where they hit on. Good for them. Hendricks, sure. So under McTavish, I think it's improved a little bit. But when I'm looking, I still have yet to see them unearth a guy who comes in here and becomes better. Right? In an organization where, for whatever reason, maybe wasn't given opportunity, they said, you know what, we really like that guy. We think, given a chance, he'll come here and be more than what we expect.
Yeah, and I think that probably comes down a lot to the GM as well, though. I mean, ultimately, it's his decision to pull trigger on a trade or his decision to sign a guy. And I think you see MacT today talking about, I want character guys. I want guys that have that intangible. And for the last few years, you haven't seen a lot of those guys that can play that have been brought in, and they don't just grow on trees. There's not a lot of guys out there that can fit in a top six or be a top four defenseman that have that intangible and are just floating around. So, for me, I have questioned some of the scouting a little bit this year and the stuff that's gone on in the past and how this team's been built. I don't really like their mix. I've said it several times. Everyone else has said it as well. It's not rocket science, but it does have to fall on some of their shoulders. And I think they are moving in that direction of trying to get guys grittier. They know they have to move there, and that's on MacT now.
Hey, Gregor, what about David Perron? Yeah, Perron, good trade. Sure, but Perron didn't do more than it was expected of him. David Perron had 21 goals in 57 games in St. Louis in an organization where he didn't get the opportunity he got here. Perron came in and played great, don't get me wrong. But I looked at his career points per game. It's not like this year he blew it out of the water. David Perron was a gritty, you know what, and he lived up to it. Good on him. It's a great trade.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that pro, and that to me is more McTavish on a trade than I'll say it's pro scouting.
Yeah,
and I'll give pro scouting, I guess it's all part and parcel, but I'm telling you, when I look at the big picture overall, I haven't seen enough of it, especially on the blue line. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about is the blue line.
Yep.
They're pro scouting on the back end in the last 5 years for defense, is what we started the conversation on. Defense, Dave Perron doesn't play defense.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, like, trading Ladislav Schmid away. Unless Schmid asked for a trade, and even if he did, I would have got a lot more for that.
Yeah.
They, from having Surrey, they got nothing for. I hated that decision by the organization. You go down through the list. Who was the last pro defenseman? And Ferentz has been okay, but he is what he is. Who was the last one where you look and said, wow, that was a really good deal? All their deals for defensemen, excluding Ferentz, have been worse when they got Demond.
Well, other than maybe Pronger, and
well, yeah,
what
but
about,
that's
what about,
six. That was Kevin Lowe like 9 years ago.
Well, I was going to say Jason Smith way back then. Yeah, you asked me how long ago.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's how long it's
I said
been.
In the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been. And I wouldn't say David Perron is that guy either. He was a great player in St. Louis. They wanted to get rid of him. They were shopping him, and it was a great trade to bring him in. But, I have to agree with you. It's been disappointing.
So what did you think about McTavish's comment that he's not looking for middle-of-the-road defensemen? That doesn't exclude veterans. I still think he realizes he'll have to add some experience on his back end. But he says no middle-of-the-road D, he'd rather have his young guys, Klefbom and Marinson, than more middle-of-the-road defensemen. I don't mind that decision, but I hope it means they're still open to adding some experience on the back end. But he was very forthcoming about what he needs up front. Second line needs to be better.
Yep.
And he needs some sort of offense from his bottom six. Like, Ryan Smith had the most goals out of the bottom six. He's retired.
Yeah.
And people said he was washed up. So, and that's, I don't buy that. I thought he had a fine year at his age for everything he added. I don't have a problem with it. But how does, like, center ice position, like Boyd Gorton, if he's your number four, then your team's significantly better.
Yeah, way better.
Right? I'm not sure what you can get for Sam Gagner.
Yeah.
But it... When the second line has to improve and David Perron's not going anywhere and Nail Yakupov's not going anywhere unless they get a significant piece, you got to think it's a second line center. How else do you improve that line?
Well, it has to be a second line center. I think what he was probably meaning was that he wasn't going to go out and sign Beloffs and the Larsons, go after the Larsons, Grebishkov, those type guys. If he's going to try to bring in middling defenseman, it's going to be somewhat of an established guy if he can, and if he can pull off a big trade, a big minute eating veteran defenseman, that's where he wants to put his focus on, not bringing in guys that he hopes can move into the top four but are probably five, six, or seven guys. He's not going to waste his time on that anymore, and he'd rather have spots for Klefbom and Marinson and guys like that to eat those minutes. I would have to think that's what he's talking about. And obviously the second line needs to be better. They need to add some size. They need to add a little grit to complement Nuge and the first line. And those have to, I mean, he said they're both priorities and they have to be.
He also mentioned that the kids had an opportunity for the first time since they've been here to see what it would be like when things are going well. Now, mm-hmm. I know the season stunk, but because Ryan Smith retired, that final game was a real feel-good atmosphere and a real feel-good game for them. Do you think that could be as much of an eye-opener as some people think for them to realize, man, like, it's a significant difference around here when we would actually be winning? Could that impact players?
I think it could a little bit. You know, we talked a little bit on Friday, and me getting to go through the experience with Mike Modano and something very similar was something that was very cool for me to be a part of in my career. And I think for a lot of these guys to see the city like that, to see what a guy, how hard he works, how much he cares about the city and the jersey that he puts on every night, and just to see how adored he was by the fans, I think absolutely for the young guys, Hall, Eberle, all those guys, it is eye-opening. It is a time to go, wow, this building can be rocking, and this is a happy time. And to try to strive to be a guy like that and to try to be adored and want to see the city like that. But I don't think that these players, I've been there, I've been a young kid on a struggling team. It's not that they're not trying. It's not that they don't want to win. I think at times you think you're working harder than you are. You think you're doing some of the right things, but you're not quite doing what you have to win because you never had to do it before. And with few guys around this team that have done it and to show them the way, I think they have lost their way a little bit, and there needs to be a better supporting cast for those guys. And absolutely, though, going into next year, I'm sure that's a night that they will honestly never forget. It was a very cool moment, and it'll sit with them for a long time.
Would have to. I know for fans, for many of them, they said, man, that's the closest I felt to the team since 2006.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was awesome. I mean, I played against them for a long time, and, you know, looking back, not as a fan, just as a hockey player, and never played with them. I've only met them a couple times, but it was just an amazing night. It was very special to see this city rally around him and give him a nice send-off. It was a very, very cool night.